Hey, it's Andrew here, and welcome to the Ecom Fuel Podcast, the show dedicated to helping seven and eight figure brand owners build incredible businesses and amazing lives. And today it's just me on the mic, going to be doing a preview of the upcoming ECF Live that's happening here in, man, just a little over 3 weeks, which is wild. We're going to be talking about the sessions we're going to be having, the speakers, the agenda, some of the fun stuff we'll be doing. If you are coming, of course, it's going to be super helpful. We got about 270-ish people, I think, all in coming. So hopefully that's helpful. If you're in the community and not signed up, hopefully it'll give you a sense of, you know, kind of what these events look like. And if you're not part of the e-com community broadly, at a minimum, maybe it'll give you a sense of some of the interesting people that we're going to have highlighting, not just, you know, to create, you know, FOMO for you, but maybe you can follow up on some of their stuff and learn about their businesses, brands, et cetera. It's a fun time. But quickly, before we jump in, Labor Day weekend, last weekend, summer is coming to a close or starting to wrap up here. I had such a fun time. I headed out to Chicago with my dad. I haven't done it, you know, it's been a little while since I did a trip with my dad like this, and went to the Windy City. A big thanks to my friend Andy, who was the catalyst for this trip. He put together this thing called 2,000 Miles to Wrigley. And I won't get too in the weeds on this, but it was a trip honoring a friend of his that passed away about 20 years ago, who loved the Cubs. He has adopted the Cubs as his team. And it was a trip to bring friends together, to think about friendship, to honor his friend, Sam. Really cool. I'll link up to a write-up about this if you want to learn more in the show notes. But as part of the trip, we went to a Wrigley game. And if you've never been to Wrigley Stadium, the Cubs Stadium, it is a cool place. It kind of takes, they've got a scoreboard that's still manual in terms of people putting up the numbers, like the hand, you know, the painted numbers, not digital. They've got these bleachers in the outfield. I would say they probably have one of the most loyal, enthusiastic fan bases in sports. I'm sure you can find some to rival them, but it'd be tough. They're impressive. And I'm a Braves fan, and the Braves were playing. And so went out there originally planning on rooting for the Braves, but the beauty of the stadium, kind of the meaning for the trip out there, the occasion, it converted me to a Cubs fan for the day, and a pretty phenomenal game. Had a home run come right over our heads. The Cubs went down 6-1 and came back to win it 7-6 with a walk-off hit in the 10th, top of the 10th. It was storybook. It was really cool. So yeah. Fun time at Wrigley if you've never been and you're a baseball fan. Even if you're not, it's worth it. Saw the Bean, got some biking in along the lakeshore, toured the Pacific Garden Mission, which is, I think, the largest homeless shelter in the U.S. They house like 700 men alone per night. My dad used to run a men's shelter. And so he wanted to check that. So we went and toured that. It was really cool what they're doing there. Went and saw the Museum of Science and Industry. Really fun trip. And also, kind of getting on the geek side here too, I am really weird about packing super light for things. And I took it to the extreme this time. I was test driving, I met Malcolm, a guy named Malcolm, who is the founder of Packed Bags here in Bozeman, Montana. That's P-A-K-T, excuse me. And I was test driving his little four-liter stash packable fanny pack, intended to be kind of a complimentary to a day bag, but I decided to try to go uber light and have that be my only bag for 3 days. And it did it. I'm not sure if I'd recommend it, but it was a fun experiment to pull off. I don't think I was too odoriferous on the way back, although probably wasn't. You know, definitely, well, we won't dive into the details too much. Won't be doing that for ECF Live. Anyway, check out Packed Bags. He makes some really neat products over there. If you want or are interested in high quality, really nicely made, intentionally thought through bags, and you're a packing nerd like I am, would strongly recommend. And he's an ECF member, so it's always cool to see what our community members are doing. So, man, this kind of ended after, you know, getting back into town, ended the gap year, the sabbatical. Going to be back at it hard in September. Excited to be diving back in. Excited for ECF Live, which is coming up in 3 weeks. So without further ado, let's get into the nitty gritty about the event. All right, Ecom Fuel Live, Bozeman, 2025. I don't know if I've ever been more excited about an ECF Live than I have for the one we're going to be kicking off here. And bringing it to to Bozeman is special for a few reasons. Went to school here, lived here a long time. I haven't talked about this much. We'll probably do an episode in the future, but our family recently moved back full-time to Bozeman after living in Tucson primarily. And it's good to be back in Montana. Sad leaving Tucson left a lot of great people, and it's a wonderful place, but it's good to be back. It's really good to be back in Montana. A lot of friends and family here. And it's just it's a really fun town in general, but especially to host a group of people like this. Bozeman has a lot of entrepreneurial energy. There's a lot of builders here. And it's just a beautiful place, especially in the fall. And between the history and between just what a neat downtown it is, I'm excited to bring and welcome everyone to town. And so from an agenda perspective, 3 days, or I guess 2.5 days, we'll be kicking things off with an opening party the first night at the Museum of the Rockies, which is this beautiful museum. I'm sure you've heard of Jurassic Park. One of the paleontologists who helped with that, Jack Horner, I think worked there for a little while. There's tons of dinosaurs, beautiful views of the mountains. So we're going to be kicking the party off there on Monday night. And then Tuesday, we're going to have a bunch of speakers and breakout sessions, matching people up for dinners and lunches. I'm going to be having a party Tuesday evening as well at the hotel downtown. We're going to be taking over. Bozeman's not a huge city, so it was a little bit of a stretch trying to get this, to get our crew situated here. So we had to actually break up, talk to 2 or 3 hotels, but we're having it at the Armory Hotel, which is downtown. This beautiful hotel used to be, I think it's called the Armory, because I think it used to be like an old National Guard armory station that they converted. Beautiful rooftop restaurant and bar, and a really neat kind of general conference area. Anyway, we're going to be there and having a party there Tuesday night. And then Wednesday night, we've got a few more breakout sessions. We've got some more talks, and we'll be having a closing party as well. And I know a lot of people are coming in and meeting up to go to Yellowstone or to go mountain biking before or after. So it's a great adventure jump off point. But enough about all the activities, about the parties. Let's talk about who's going to be speaking. What's actually a quick little preview of what to expect if you're there. So I'm going to go through these pretty quickly, just give you a little taste, a little hors d'oeuvre. Hey, Andrew here with a quick sidebar. I want to introduce you to Phil from Saddlebox.net, which is a pet subscription box for equestrian enthusiasts. And met Phil at multiple events. He's been a member since about 2020. And here's what he has to say about his experience with e-commerce Fuel, our private vetted community for 7- and 8-figure founders.
Anytime I have any kind of a question about how to run an online business, I can just hop on my computer or on my cell phone, type out a post, and really quickly I'll have lots of great suggestions from people about how to solve the problem. I also check it every single day, even if I don't have any questions. A lot of times I'll read a post and see an idea from somebody that I've never had before that I can apply to my business to make it better right away. It's really cool. It's like having your own board of advisors at your fingertips at all times of the day.
After hearing literally hundreds of comments like this over the last decade our community's been around, it's easy to offer our 10x guarantee. If you don't get at least a 10x ROI on your membership in the first year, in terms of increased revenue, saved time, and saved money, we'll give you a full refund plus an extra $1,000. But many of our members report seeing massive value in just the first month or two when applying it to their 7- or 8-figure business. You can learn more about the community and apply for membership at ecommercefuel.com. Okay, back to the show. Okay, our keynote talks in front of the general session. And these are preliminary. Maybe a few things will be moved around and not. There's a couple that are still in flux, but here's the lion's share of what to expect. What's hard in 2025? Matthew Bertulli and Katie Mamari are going to be chatting about this. Matthew, of course, one of the hosts of the Operators podcast and owns a number of brands. And Katie is the founder of Caden Lane. Both good friends, experienced operators. And we're going to be talking about what's difficult, everything from tariffs to supply chain to Meta, and the hard parts about their business and what they're doing about it. One theme you're going to notice this year is it has been a brutal year in e-com. E-com is always hard, but this year was made especially difficult with all the things I just mentioned, tariffs, Meta, supply chain. I really appreciate that a lot of our speakers are going to be opening up about what has been so difficult. Less, I mentioned this in the announcements in the forum, but less less I'm crushing it, look how good I am, and more I got crushed and here's how we're dealing with it. Because that's the reality for a lot of brands this past year. We're going to be hearing from Tal Moore, the co-founder of PopSmith. He's going to be kicking off our general session, and he's got a very moving story about the past year and a half to 2 years of his business. Extremely difficult. They raised some money for PopSmith, their brand. It was a rough go at the beginning, and went through some really hard times, but also had some pretty amazing lessons learned from it. Can't wait for that talk, and really appreciate his transparency in talking about that. Conrad Anker is one of the preeminent mountaineers, I would say, of our generation. And he lives in Bozeman and is going to be joining us to talk about how to manage risk. He was the North Face, or led the North Face team for 30 plus years, I believe. And he has been on Everest. He's been on some of the craziest mountains in the world, leading world-class teams of climbers. And thinking about risk mitigation and situational awareness is something he's world-class at. So we're going to be talking about that, something that applies a lot to us as business owners, especially this year too. So we'll be doing a keynote with him, and then also a breakout session to go in depth on a number of things. We're going to be joined by the founder of Portland Leather, which is North America's largest leather bag maker. That's Curtis Matsko. Really cool. He reached out to me. I didn't know this, but he's a Montana kid, grew up in Great Falls, went on to found this amazing company. And so we're going to hear about his journey, the risks that he's taken, and the lessons he's learned. Excited for that one. Ezra Firestone, if you've been in the space for even a little while, you know Ezra. He hasn't spoken at one of our events, a friend of mine, and it's been, I think, 3+ years. So he's going to be speaking on how to build a profitable brand and talking about everything from high converting ads and sales pages to traffic systems that scale without killing your margins. Ezra is always a lot of fun, high energy, firecracker, knows his stuff. It'll be fun to have him there. Lisa Roser is the owner of 50 Flowers, and she's built this incredible business over a couple of decades now. Before it was popular, with international supply chains, teams in Ecuador, she's been building global supply chains and teams for a long time. So she's going to be talking about kind of the real truths about that. It sounds easy. It's not easy. And she's going to be getting into the weeds of how that's worked for her business. So those are our keynotes, which I can't wait for. Our breakout sessions, Andrew Ferris, podcaster you probably recognize as well, is going to be talking about how to build a process for generating creative that scales. As you know, like, creative is the name of the game with a lot of paid traffic these days. It's getting less about twisting knobs and dials and being able to run the machine, and more about being able to just come up with interesting, attention-grabbing, engaging creative. But of course, you've got to refresh that because your creative gets stale. So how do you create a process for that you can do over and over again? So Andrew's going to be talking about that. Kelsey Larrick from 365 Holdings is going to be talking about a challenging year that they have had, about just a number of issues. It was a brutal year, and how they turned that around into growth. Love Kelsey. Really appreciate him being honest and candid. And that's one of the things that's great, I think, about these sessions is some of them we'll record, many of them we won't, especially if it helps our presenters be more candid. I think that's one of the neat things about actually being at the event is you can, you know, when there aren't mics rolling, people tend to be much more honest and candid about things. And that'll definitely be the case for some of our sessions. So can't wait for Kelsey's session on that. How to build impactful software projects with small teams and AI. Zach Plansky, well-known ECF community member and the owner of at3tactical.com. He's kind of become poster child. I feel like that has a derogatory, like a condescending term. I don't know why. Poster child is not the right. He's become well-known in a great way for kind of being the man who's used AI coding to build phenomenally complex tools. I think he saved 6 figures in SaaS fees building some stuff himself. And so this is more of a dance session. He's going to be talking about how you can use the same kind of tools to build large, full-featured apps that save you time and money and make your business run smoother. Kevin Williams, another long-time ECF member, incredible guy, AscendLabs.ai. He's going to be discussing real-world case studies for e-commerce automation, especially using N8N. So how are e-commerce brands actually using these kind of tools to automate their business? He's going to be getting into the nitty-gritty around that. Another business case study in terms of what went wrong and how they were able to resolve it. Martina Brimmer, She runs and is the owner and founder of Swift Industries, really cool bike brand. I've got one of her bags. She makes wonderfully high quality stuff. How she saved her business from extinction and redesigned it to be something that she loved. She was on the podcast, a month or two ago. And I really appreciated how she talked candidly about this. She's going to be diving into that story as well as a little more in-depth nitty-gritty about her business turnaround and challenges. Turning browsers into buyers with AI-driven creative. Ritu Java is going to be talking about how to use AI to create creative for your ad campaigns and your organic campaigns. And Ritu, I was asking around about who's a phenomenal speaker on paid traffic and understands that, both from a Meta perspective, an Amazon perspective. And Ritu's name came up a couple times with high praise as someone who just really knew her stuff. And she's the founder of PPC Ninja. Can't remember if I said that or not. And just knows the space really well. So we're going to be talking about how, if you haven't been using AI to actually help with your creative side of things, she's going to be talking about how you can do that meaningfully to save and get back a lot of time. Growing from founder to effective CEO, Ayman Al-Abdullah is someone, man, I met him 10, 15 years ago at a conference we were speaking at Berlin, I think. And just a little seed of a relationship planted. He's such a good dude. And he went on to become the CEO of AppSumo, where he took the brand, I think, from $3 million to close to $100 million in sales. And now he's a CEO coach. I'm always a little bit skeptical of CEO coaches and coaches in general, because I think there's a lot of charlatans out there. But the things I like about Ayman is, one, he's actually done it. And two, he's just a solid, sharp, hardworking guy. And his big thing is helping business owners do more with their time, become more productive, not get stuck in the weeds as much. And he's going to be talking a lot about that in his talk. And finally, wholesale, I think, is as paid as organic or SEO, as traffic just gets harder and harder to get and more expensive to get. Wholesale is going to become increasingly, and already is increasingly, important for a lot of brands listening. We've got two folks talking about how to build that from fair to mom and pop to big box, the whole entire life cycle of building out a robust wholesale channel. Kevlin is the founder of festivegal.com. Kevlin Zierk, and she is going to be talking about wholesale alongside Mr. Jared Mayer, who was the wholesale director for Pura Vida Bracelets for a while, I think 15 years, and really helped build that brand into a powerhouse in the bracelet space. A great lineup, not just people you can learn from, but people you can connect with, ask questions about after the fact. We are sold out. It's probably going to be difficult to get tickets at this point. So hopefully, if you are coming, this gets you a little more amped up and can start thinking about which sessions to come to. And if you're not coming this year, hopefully you'll consider it next year. Or at a minimum, check out some of the cool things a lot of these people are doing and maybe put some interesting names on your radar. Forge What Matters. This was a section that I kicked off in the spring and took a little hiatus for the summer and bringing back, hopefully consistently. And again, this is a section where I'm trying to talk about more things that are deeper than business. Maybe they relate a little bit here and there, but really things, life, friendships, family, health, faith, the things that are important in life. I'm going to be talking more about those. So recently I don't know how this came up. I was sitting on the couch talking to one of my kids. And we all have this self-image of ourselves, right? And I have the self-image of myself as a fairly upbeat kind of person. And by extension, a fairly upbeat dad. And I can't remember the prompt, but I asked my kids, I said to one of them, how would you rate me? What percentage of the time would you say that, you know, I'm happy, neutral, and grumpy? And I was expecting them to be like, oh, dad, you're happy like 90% of the time. You know, you're neutral like 8% of the time, and maybe 2% of the time you're grumpy. And so when the first child I asked this to put me at like 40% happy, 20% neutral, 40% grumpy, I thought he was, you know, I thought they were just mad at me. I can't remember which kid this was, but I thought they were annoyed or they were upset that I didn't let him do something. And so I immediately asked my next two kids to come and give me the rating on the same thing. They didn't hear each other. This was all independent. And after two more kids pretty much told me the exact same thing, my head and my residual self-image kind of exploded a little bit. And it kind of shook me for a couple of days, because here my kids were saying, hey, dad, you're grumpy and frustrated with us about as much of the time as you're happy and excited to be around us. And that was really hard to hear for all the reasons you can imagine. I think a couple of things happened. One, we have three kids. There's a lot going on. We're busy. There's more stress with kids around. And I think in my brain, I tended to not appreciate or fully realize how much of the time with my kids I was correcting or disciplining or asking them to be quiet or frustrated. They were distracting with work. And granted, there's a lot of legitimate excuses to be frustrated with kids when you have three, and especially when you have a house in the neighborhood that collects a lot of them. Sometimes I'll be, especially in this kind of transition period, trying to work with, you know, seven or eight kids outside. But that being said, I didn't realize that, you know, if I'm grumpy 5% of the week, but, you know, that 5% of my week, the time I'm with my kids is, you know, only a small portion of that. It's disproportionately, they see me being grumpy with them, even if I don't feel like I am. So the second thing is too, was one of my big flaws is I'm impatient. Like, I love efficiency. It's very difficult for me when things don't work, when things are messy, when things break or are not. Efficiency, it helps. It's an amazing asset in business. It's not a great asset for raising kids in a way that makes them feel connected to you. Anyway, so all this to say, I didn't have a great representation, accurate self-image of how my kids saw me, at least in that sense. And I think I'm a good dad. I was talking to Annie about this before I hopped on, and you know, she was trying to say, hey, this is, I think you don't blow this out of proportion. Your kids love you. You have a great relationship with them. And it's true. I work hard at being with my kids, but I also think that I have a long ways to go in terms of, you know, being more patient, being more, you know, in terms of tone, in terms of patience, in terms of letting things slide. How important is this really, right? I can't remember who said it the other day, but someone said the other day, like, hey, I think it was one of the guys on the Dave Ramsey show. I can't remember who he is, but it's actually an interesting dude. He gives a lot of good advice. And he pretty much said, hey, is making your bed important? Yeah. Am I going to try to get my kid to make their bed every day? Yeah. Am I going to burn my relationship with my kid to the ground because they don't make their bed? No, I'm not going to. A lot of judgment there. But I think for me, the biggest wake-up call was sometimes you're not totally aware of how you're interacting with your kids or anyone for that matter. And a check-in can do you a lot of good and help you to see, you know, where you've got some big blind spots. Because we all got them. I especially do. If you're an entrepreneur who wants to connect with other experienced owners who are working to build a financially vibrant business alongside a rich, meaningful life, head on over to ecommercefuel.com to learn more and connect with 1,000 entrepreneurs just like you. Work hard, adventure often, and forge what matters. Look forward to seeing you again next Friday.